Welcome to Flashpoint, the podcast for filthy casuals by filthy casuals.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Flashpoint episode 85, recorded Sunday, September 14th. I'm your host, David Holloway, and with me is a co-host who is Australia's number two sufferer of RSI at present. How are you going, Simon?
Good. I think that's a bit harsh, though. I mean, I know I'm supporting Star Citizen, but I think that's a bit... number two sufferer. It's not that bad, you know.
Yeah, it's funny, when I wrote that, I thought Robert Space Industry. Yeah, so no, repetitive strain injury, and we'll talk about why you're number two and I'm probably number one sufferer of repetitive strain injury at the moment.
Get a girlfriend.
Yeah, I was about to say we'll avoid any of those jokes.
Oh, okay, right. Okay. Changing course, Captain.
Yes. So this week we'll obviously still talk a bit of Star Wars The Old Republic, but we're going to... probably cover quite a bit of ground around Destiny, because both of us, believe it or not, have played it extensively. That might be a first for this podcast. We've both played the same game extensively over the past week.
Yeah, and even very briefly together.
Yeah, that's right. That was a bloody highlight, I can tell you.
Yeah, that was. I thought, I know that name. Yes. Could it be? It's like one of those slow motion rushes together you get in movies.
Yeah.
You know, when there's the couple are sort of running in slow motion towards each other through the meadow of dandelions or whatever that hell it usually is.
It was funny as. So, yeah, we'll talk a lot about Destiny, plus we'll do a bit of pop culture and tech as well. But first, let's jump straight into the MMO news section, Republic News.
You're not afraid? You will be.
You will be.
So firstly, a big thank you to Hillary, who joined us last episode. I know a lot of people listened to that episode. Based on the stats, we had a bit of a, what would you call it, a spike. So thanks to Hillary for jumping in and answering what she was able to. And I know we were able to submit the questions that some of our listeners asked for answers to that she couldn't answer herself. I know they're still submitted to Hillary, and she did give me the heads up it'd be well after PAX before we get a response. So hopefully by next episode we should be able to run through those, and we'll also put them up on the website.
Yay.
And then obviously just in the past week, Forged Alliances hit the live servers. This is Forged Alliances Part 3, which is essentially, Simon, just the Ricarda Prime Flashpoint, isn't it?
That is correct, yes.
So, I mean, you're much more dedicated with storylines than me. Where did the Forged Alliances story get us to prior to this hitting?
I don't follow. It's also boring when you know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I just lose interest.
There you go. That sums it up nicely. Yeah. So, there's a new Flashpoint. I mean, I think we'll both be transparent and honest and say that we haven't, I know I haven't done it, and I'm assuming you haven't either, Simon.
No, I did go through the Empire side.
Oh, good. Okay.
A pug, and it was a total disaster. But fortunately, the combat didn't seem as hard. I'm not saying that Manan was extremely torturous, but it seemed to glide by with a bit more speed and ease. I don't know if I don't think there's any special skill on any of our part, because we were total disorganized shambles. But and I think there was a bit of new music in there. I swear to God, there was a tune in there I hadn't heard before. But it was good. I clearly don't want to say too much about it, because I don't know.
Yeah, who's done it right?
Who's listening to this and whether they've played it or not. But I'm not going to say that the conclusion was particularly earth-shattering. I'd say that most people probably could figure out where it went and where we ended up. All I'm going to say is that I expect far more accuracy and damage from a capital ship's turbo lasers than was exhibited at a certain point. I mean, geez, guys, you're not stormtroopers.
You should be
able to aim better.
Yeah, they're firing like stormtroopers. Yeah. All right.
But it's good. And the fact that these things are coming out, it seems that this part three came up maybe I've just been distracted. Well, I have been distracted, but they seem to have come out at a pretty good cadence.
Mm.
I didn't even bother to check how what frequency they've come out, but it doesn't feel like it's been too long between them. So, props to BioWare for that. That's good. If we can keep things coming out at a reasonably steady rate, I think that's going to keep people happy.
Yeah, it seemed quick to me because, yeah. I mean, it seemed like Galactic Stronghold's only been out. Well, it has only been, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Yeah, it's about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the teams are doing good. And then I was about to just segue into the next item.
Oh, sorry, about update 3.0.
Yeah.
Well, keep segueing.
Okay, keep segueing. And it's all going to be very interesting to see where 3.0 gets us, because as most of you must know by now, Bruce has indicated that he's going to start launching, or they start launching tips and trailers and hints for the much anticipated 3.0 and the galaxy shaking storyline that's going to be in there. Now, obviously, we know it's got something to do with He Who Shall Not Be Named because of spoilers. But where is this going to go? Where is it going to take us? What mysteries shall be revealed? Will we get a new planet?
Yeah, well, that's, I assume definitely not a new class or race.
Yeah, class storylines and same-sex romances, yep.
Mm.
We're talking about them internally, but we've no timeline we can share with you at the moment.
So that hasn't changed in 2 years, or not 2 years, but...
I'm just channeling, but yeah. I'm pretty confident that response would be accurate.
Yeah.
To pretty much any question.
So, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you'd think, you know, just by numbers, 3.0, the 0.0s are usually big things. You'd hope there's something pretty significant in there, but particularly given they've actually raised the bar on themselves as far as Galactic Stronghold's been, you know, a fairly significant addition to gameplay, and then the new Flashpoint now as well, that, you know, yeah. They can't just come out with another Flashpoint or another just a little bit of functionality. It's got to be something pretty big.
Exactly. And in a way, it's a little bit like Germany in World War II. They seem to keep opening up new fronts. So we've not only got to keep getting regular updates for Galactic Starfighter, we've got to keep getting regular updates now for Strongholds, as well as trying to get updates for the PvP, plus people who want a PvE and want more story-driven stuff. And holy crap, they're going to be drowning in expectations. So I think they better just stop giving us new dimensions to the game, perhaps, and maybe just get a bit more depth in the existing ones.
That's right.
Otherwise, I think that we might end up with something that's so expansive and so broad that the depth's just going to, well, it's going to get shallow pretty damn quick.
And see, and
people are going to growl about that.
That's right. And it's a bit more of an MMO traditionalist. I mean, I'd hope with a 3.0 update that there'd be a level cap increase. But The trouble with that is obviously that assumes a whole bunch of extra story.
Yeah, and hopefully pet arenas.
Yeah, all right. See, I love pet battles in WoW, but I can't see them doing that in this game for a while.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't mind. I'd send Marco and Vet in there, see what happens.
Oh, oh, look, I think pet battles would be better in SWTOR than WoW. I think they'd be brilliant, but I'd be gobsmacked if they announced that.
I don't think the likelihood is very high.
No. So speaking of inside knowledge, to coincide with PAX week before last, or week before that, it could have been, BioWare ran a cantina and did a bit of a Q&A with that. And thanks to our friends over at UtiniCast, they've transcribed that quite nicely. And I think it's fair to say, Simon, there's not a lot to get super excited about in there.
I would encapsulate it by saying that the responses are basically, yeah, we talk about it internally, but we've no timeline to share at this time.
Yeah.
Oh, is there I feel like I've said that before. Can't imagine why.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, never mind. They have a lot more to say later this week and towards the end of the month. So that's where I would expect a little bit more meat and a little less batter.
I think you might have just named the pod this episode for me, as always. No, that's good. Yeah, it's just, I mean, you read through the transcript and like, will we ever see a daily area where objectives are dynamic, like having the quest change on a daily basis? And the answer is exactly what you said. This is something that they talk about a lot internally. They can't make any promises, but they like the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, which means nothing.
Yeah, well, I like the idea of a personal spaceship, but I don't think there's a timeline I can share with you on that either.
No. So, yeah, not a lot out of that. And
but an excellent effort. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah, thank you, AttorneyCast, future guildmates sometime.
Actually, we should probably say who was there. So it was Caligari and Ben_B_B55, who's a regular in the AttorneyCast
chat room.
Right. So, yeah. Good job, guys.
Excellent.
Nice job trying to get blood out of stone, but I don't think anyone could have done any better.
No, God, no. So the last little piece of – actually, there's two things. At the end of this podcast, Simon, you're sort of a similar age to me. Do you remember a 1970s artist called Miko? M-E-C-O?
Oh, are you talking about the sort of – weird disco funk orchestra ended up doing that cover of the Star Wars theme. Yes.
Yeah, they did the whole record in the canteen.
I do recall that.
I had it as a kid and loved it. And I've been on a bit of a binge the last 2 months. I'm a very minor vinyl collector. And I've managed to nail down, I think, 5 of Miko's records. He's done everything from Close Encounters of the Third Kind to Superman and a whole bunch of them. And he does a lot of his own original compositions. So you might get the Star Wars theme, for example. And in that case of that one, I think it's 2 or 3 other Star Wars-related songs. And then he does throw some of his own stuff. And it's very funky, very disco, very 70s. So I've managed to convert some of them to MP3, and I thought I might play a little snippet right at the end. So instead of the closing theme music, if you go right to the end, you'll get a bit of a snippet of Miko. So enjoy that. And interestingly, I looked up today, he nearly won a Grammy for that Star Wars album, but it was awarded to John Williams for the actual original soundtrack, which you would hope would be the case.
Yeah, although calling it an original soundtrack is sometimes I think might be stretching it a bit.
The John Williams one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I might do something about that at some point and just point out a couple of very memorable bits of the music, or at least orchestration, and just point out where exactly those were inspired from and how similar they sound
to
each other.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that'd be fascinating, actually.
And that's not necessarily a criticism of John Williams, not necessarily, because what you end up doing with a movie is you have a temp track where you lay down music from wherever.
That's right.
But you think encapsulates it, and then that plays under the Like a Reel's Like It, which is like a film storyboard. And then as you cut in the finished scenes into that, that's going to set the mood, and then that all gets flung off to the composer to give him an idea of what
that's right
what the director's looking for. So some amount of inspiration, shall we say, is bound to bleed through. But I think there's a little bit more than inspiration in a few places.
Yes. See, but if people compared the original Flashpoint opening theme and the Instances opening theme, they might see some spooky coincidences there as well. Not the current one, though.
No.
But, that was an inspiration for me as far as, dramatic or whatever, and I'm sure if you compared them closely, there'd be some close bits.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, look, if it's good enough for Lady Gaga to rip off, Ace of Base for her single Alejandro and any other number of weird comparisons, Madonna, which we won't mention... there's a certain amount of that tends to happen at the best of times, but I still want to point it out to people.
Oh, good. No, I'd love to see that.
Because it's funny.
Yeah, gotcha. So the last bit of Star Wars related stuff is probably the highlight of the podcast when they appear, and that's the Your Lore is Stuck in My Canon segment with our good friend ODS1. And this week, ODS1 is talking about, quite related to the Forge Alliance's storyline, the legacy of the Rakata. Over to you, ODS1.
Thank you, Master David. May I say what an inspiration you must be to our listeners. Your continual struggle towards adequacy, despite your genetic burden, must be most uplifting to those similarly afflicted. Now, by this point, most of you will have visited the picturesque world of Lihon, otherwise known as Rakata Prime. As some of you might remember, we have already covered the glory that was the Infinite Empire, so rather than me helpfully remind you of that information, I will instead suggest you listen to that original segment again. I would tell you what show to listen to, but my helpfulness circuits are down at the moment for maintenance in preparation for news of Update 3.0. Today, I thought we could take a look at the legacy of the Infinite Empire, the effects of some of their greatest machines, and the great potential for chaos and death that some of them still hold. Kashyyyk, if you didn't know, is covered in trees. Trees of such size and scale, they are unique in the galaxy. But have you ever wondered why the trees of Kashyyyk are so large? That's right, the wondrous Rakata and the Infinite Empire. Terraforming worlds was one of the many achievements of the Empire. Originally, the planet was a centre of agricultural production, growing billions of tons of food for the Empire and its slaves. Unfortunately, nature, left to its own devices, is capricious and messy, so production was unable to keep up with demand. The Rakata installed massive machines, which were tasked with reforming the entire planet's ecostructure. In charge of this was the Ancient Computer, an annoyingly vague and inaccurate name, that monitored and promoted the program of modifying Kashyyyk's flora and fauna. After the fall of the Infinite Empire, the machines continued their task despite there being no empire to feed and no interaction with its builders. Eventually, this led to an error. The Reformation did not stop when it should have. It went much, much further. Many species of plants and animals either evolved at an accelerated pace or grew far larger than they ever would have naturally. This included a large species of tree named the Rochere that rapidly colonized much of the planet's surface and then began a slow-motion war with itself, basically, growing ever larger and taller, competing for soil nutrients and sunlight until many of them were several kilometers high. Thus, the Rakata's legacy rendered the surface into a dark, deadly netherworld that even the native Wookiees would never willingly set foot upon. They named it the Shadowlands. That would be an excellent name for a server. If you're wondering how the Rakata's ancient machines functioned for so long, all Rakatan Darkseid technology is self-sustaining and maintains itself indefinitely, and if damaged or destroyed, and given long enough, will attempt to repair or restore itself. It is this capacity that allowed Revan to find the Starforge, and that brings us quite neatly to our next artifact, the Star Maps. While the location of the Starforge was lost to the ages by Revan's times, legends and hints of locations of the Star Maps were not. The Infinite Empire touched many worlds, and those fingerprints were enduring. Originally built to be monuments to the undoubted greatness of the Rakata, they proclaimed the scope and the power of the Empire, including many notable locations, including the location of their greatest achievement. However, as the Empire crumbled and their borders rapidly shrank, the Rakata destroyed all the star maps to prevent any of their former slaves from finding their own homeworld and exacting revenge. But, as I said, Rakatan fingerprints are enduring, and the maps, over the millennia, rebuilt themselves, at least partially. No map was intact when Revan searched for them, but the five he did find, Ichon, Dantooine, Korriban, Manan, Kashyyyk, and Tatooine, had restored enough information each that, when combined, gave him the location he sought. While the star maps are not directly responsible for any destruction, I should point out that the location to the Starforge is not the only secret they may hold. While the dark side technology of the Rakata is remarkable, it does have a downside. And that, ultimately, is what led to the downfall of the Infinite Empire. That downside is magnified considerably when you start getting on the scale of the Starforge. It was so massive and so powerful that it gained a form of sentience. Fed by the Rakatans, its aspect took on many of the Rakatans' own savage and black-hearted traits. And as it had been affected by them, so it in turn affected the Rakata, slowly twisting their hearts, exacerbating their own dark tendencies until the Empire collapsed tragically under the weight of its own greed, anger, and cruelty. Despite being one of the great powers in the galaxy, the Starforge has little direct defensive capability apart from a few turbo laser batteries. Instead, it relied on the ships it produced and a protective disruptor field projected from the planet Lahon itself. The field would force ships of any size or power to the planet's surface, either in a controlled fashion or a catastrophic one. The projector for the field was located inside the Temple of the Ancients, a massive repository of knowledge including the secrets of the Starforge's construction. The temple's doors were protected by a barrier of unknown nature, and it was said that only the Rakata could temporarily lower it using a specific procedure or ritual. According to one version of history, Revan himself, during the Battle of Rakata Prime, entered the temple after providing assistance to a Rakatan elder, and ultimately caused the destruction of the Starforge by lowering the disruptor field, allowing the orbiting Republic fleet to bombard the Forge's orbital stabilizer, thus destroying them, and causing it to topple into Lahon's sun. The subsequent explosion blew tons of debris millions of miles into space, and some of it, along with the wreckage of the hundreds, probably thousands of ships destroyed in the battle, formed a ring around the planet. Later reports suggest that that debris is actually slowly knitting itself into one solid mass. In any case, the Republic quickly realized that even with the Starforge destroyed, knowledge of this previously lost world was too dangerous to be made public. All information of Lahon became quarantined, and once again, the Rakata, their world, and their technology were lost to the galaxy. And speaking of things that are best lost forever, back to you, Master David.
Thanks, as always, Odious One. I love you too. So let's move now straight into general gaming news.
This is not the podcast you're looking for.
All right, so I think it's fair to say, Simon, that we're going to pretty much stick with... Oh, we'll do a little bit... No, yeah, let's do that first. Minecraft.
Right.
It's alleged that Microsoft might be buying them.
Yes, it's looking increasingly likely. From what the initial report, I think, was Wall Street Journal and someone else, and Reuters, that might have been Forbes. Reuters has recently come out with a little bit more information as an analyst suggesting that they may not be looking at the purchase for Xbox-related business. They might well be looking at it for the Windows Phone business to try and push that up a bit. Because, of course, it makes no sense as an Xbox exclusive because it's just been it's just been released on the current generation consoles. Friday last week, I think it was. So it's only been out a few days.
I've got it on the PS4.
Yes, I noticed you were playing alone. That's what it said anyway.
It's one of my dear children.
Ah, right.
Yes, loves it.
Aha. So, yes, it's not like they can make an exclusive to the Xbox platform because it already isn't. And people have paid for it, so they can't take it away from them.
No.
Oh, the screams of children everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
But so the idea that's being floated is if you have a look at the sales charts in iTunes for iOS apps, apparently Minecraft has been and continues to be a really big seller. And one of the problems that Windows Phone has is that it doesn't have much in the way of app support because it's so small. Marcus Notch Pearson, the guy behind Minecraft, said some time ago that because it's so small, it's not worth the time and expense of porting it. And this is from a man with more money than God, probably.
Yeah.
But he's got a point because it's the stats I saw, 2.5% of the mobile market is what Windows Phone currently has.
Yeah.
2.5. BlackBerry has more than that.
Yeah.
And BlackBerry is, well, you know where BlackBerry is at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
But having a premium, high-profile app like that available on the Windows Phone platform would obviously make it look a bit better, especially for people that want a decent phone, don't want to pay too much for it, like you do for any Apple product, you pay too much for it. And, I think from that perspective, I think it actually makes an awful lot of sense, an awful lot of sense. Because if you can't get people to write stuff for your platform, buy it.
That's right. And you'd like to think they wouldn't change it too much. I mean, I may be howled down because I'm running on a Mac here, but I haven't seen Microsoft stuff around with Skype too much. So I'd like to think they'd leave Minecraft alone to a large extent as well.
Yeah. They won't break things if they don't absolutely have to. I mean, sometimes they'll – in the past they've done that sort of thing, but I don't think they would mess around with it too much. In fact, I don't think they'd mess around with it at all. They would most likely just leave it as is, unlike a recent Scandinavian company they bought.
Yeah.
Another one. But I think they'll probably go – I think they'll do well with the Nokia brand. They'll support that. The new phones they've brought out have actually been – had a look at them, and they're actually very nice. Excellent build quality. They're very reasonably priced, but they feel very premium.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, anyway, that's enough of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Probably won't notice much difference all in all.
No. Well, let's get on to what we really want to talk about then, which is Destiny. So for those living under a rock, Destiny obviously was released on both the Xbox – both Xbox consoles, wasn't it? And
yeah, it was released on the last generation and the current generation.
Yeah, and same for PlayStation, wasn't it?
Like yes.
The, yeah. So released on the PS3 and PS4 with the PC version. I don't think they've announced a firm date for yet, have they?
No, they have not. No. Grand Theft Auto 5 has indicated one for the PC release, but no, at this point there's no release been announced for a PC version.
Yeah, and for those that further have lived on a rock like me, it's in the same universe as Halo. See, I'm one of the probably 0.1% of gamers that have never played Halo. I just had a big gap of years of not playing there, and that was one game I missed out on. So this is a brand new thing to me, whereas Simon, you played what, one or both of the Halos?
I played Halo... Halo 2, Halo 3,
see,
Halo,
was a third.
Halo 4, ODST, Reach,
so
and even Halo Wars.
So isn't it cool that I said both when there are actually so many more than both? Good stuff, David.
If we'd done more prep pre-show, then we could have ironed that bug out.
Yeah, we didn't. Bit of knowledge. No, it's all good. So it's launched. There's obviously been plenty of attention in the gaming media. All the big sites were all over it. And as promised a few months back, I mentioned the episode, it was probably the game that's going to make me buy one of the current generation consoles, and I did just that this week. So
how's the Wii U?
it's feeling very neglected at the moment. So I bought one of the Iceberg White PS4 consoles.
Nice.
Fired it up and, you know, love it. And then been playing... Probably not. I don't know how many hours you'll put in, Simon, but I've probably only put in 8 hours or something since Tuesday each evening, probably an hour each evening or an hour and a bit.
I honestly don't know how much time I've spent.
Yeah, I assumed it was more than me. So did you want to give your impressions first?
No, I think because in my opinion, there's not an awful lot changed since the beta. And I have talked about the beta a bit. So you go first and then I'll just add any colour I feel I need to.
Yeah, and see, the trouble is I'm a little bit biased by on the PS4, you can obviously view the IGN channel. Like I was fiddling around with it on Friday night and watched one of their panel discussions on Destiny and agreed with pretty much everything they've said. So that sort of biased me a bit. But I've really enjoyed the hell out of it. And so I mentioned about RSI at the top of the show. My poor old wrists and fingers and thumbs in particular aren't used to the level of strain that they've copped in using that controller. I love the way the controls worked. Initially, it was a learning curve. I didn't like it initially using both the joysticks to move and aim, but with a little bit of tweaking and, you know, getting over the learning curve, I can't imagine doing it any other way. So I think I was struggling with muscle memory of all games with Half-Life. I think there were some things reversed in the way you control Destiny versus the way you do in Half-Life, and I think that's what I struggle with, the learning curve. I could be wrong on that. There was something just didn't feel, because I think from that memory you use arrow keys still to move, but mouse to look, and I think that's what I was thinking it was like, whereas obviously it's a little bit different. Graphically, love it. Looks brilliant. Can't fault it at all, but although I doubt it's looking any more brilliant than a lot of the first-person shooters, I could be wrong on that, on the current consoles. The atmosphere's great, it's tense, the music's brilliant, particularly the music, the way it's interspersed, you know, when the action's coming up, like most good games. I like the map, I like getting a rough idea where the monsters or the fallen are up ahead, with the little red splotches on the map on the top left. Mm-hmm. I've had a hell of a good time. On the downside, if you're looking for a really linear game with a really rich storyline, from what I can see, it's just not there. So there certainly are story missions, and that's all I've done, and you just have the nice little intro. Your ghost tells you, here's what we're going to do, and then each of them are essentially running around objectives. The objectives are fun, but they're all pretty much the same, usually ending with needing to kill some bigger dude at the end of it. But then that's most gaming over the last 40 years. And I don't think there's anything particularly innovative about any of it. I said, I'm loving it. I'll try and play it to the end, but there's nothing that's gone, this is a whole new take on the genre. I just don't see that at all, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's my thoughts.
I would agree with most of that. I think it is, visually, I think it is a better looking game than quite a few Killzone. I must admit, I did a fair bit of standing around staring at the vistas going, holy fuck, and then just sort of wandering up to the TV and just having a closer look, and yeah, it still looked amazing. So it is definitely one of the best looking games visually. Well, duh. It was a tautology, wasn't it? Best looking games visually. Jeez. I need to drink more before I come on these things.
That too.
Yes. I do agree. It does feel a little bit thin at this point. I find the combat very enjoyable.
Yes.
It's very flexible. It's nice being able to just jump around flying through the air and shooting. So
yeah, the glide stuff's great.
Yeah. I have missed, I must admit, that flexibility and that fluidity to combat, rather than sort of just running around in circles waiting for your cooldown to finish.
I think
I've had enough of that combat for a little while. It's fun in its time, in the right quantity, and I think I may have just had a bit too much, so it's just nice to come back for an FPS. The dynamic world events is a bit Guild War 2-ish.
Yes.
So that's nice. I enjoy that, because they're usually a bastard and you just hope to God that someone else is going to come running along and give you a hand.
And I find the cooldown or the times on them are too short. The three or four that I've come across, I've got 25 to 30 seconds to get there and then 60 seconds to do it. And before you've got a third of the way through it, it's finished. And they said, sorry, you missed out this time.
Oh, really?
So it could have been just bad timing where I was, but...
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, because usually you see a event inbound, and some of those things are like meteors dropping out of the sky.
That's right.
I have seen one where you've got like a minute to get there.
Okay.
And that jump on your sparrow and move. That's the little bike, the air bike you've got.
Oh yeah, see, speed, the speeder one, bike. But I'm forgetting. Yeah, that's a good.
Oh, you've got to use that. It's speeder bikes. You can have races with people,
and it is cool. I've used it for one of the missions, but yeah.
Yeah, and the more advanced ones you get the air brakes, so you can do more drifty turns. Although you can do some pretty good drifty turns on the one you get as a default.
Man,
some of those events though just seem to one. I swear to God, it felt like it was lasting longer than the Boer War. It was just going on. I thought, oh, for God's sake, I can't take much more of this. Someone relieve me, please. Yeah. But I wasn't going to give up. Just I wanted to see it through to the end. So yeah, those events are good. The fact that it's not an MMO, but it does having the common play areas where other people are running around and may come and help you, or may not.
Yeah, it can be a godsend. Particularly yeah, if they're that like can be twice your level.
Yeah. So I mean, unless you're part of your fire group and you've got voice chat, the best way of communicating is just running up to them and jumping up and down like an idiot, and that seems to work quite well.
Yeah.
But as you say, we do end up playing a lot of the same enemies in the same general areas.
That's right.
It's the planet Earth basically consists of the tower and a cosmodrome.
Yeah, and because the second time I had a mission, I'm going, hold on, I've done this. And then, of course, you're second guessing yourself as far as I'm going up these stairs again. Is that huge horde of fallen going to run at me like they did last time? But of course, being a different mission, it isn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found a lot of second guessing yourself, but going, I've done this bit before.
Yeah, although you find that you've run in that area, but you may not have gone to a particular part of the area, because the areas themselves are large.
They are, yeah.
And it's easy to get lost. So, yes, I say it's a cosmodrome, but, I mean, there's a number of different parts of it. The areas themselves are actually pretty damn big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough variety and there's enough nooks and crannies and weird hidey holes that you are accessing a lot of the same areas, but there's enough different places to go in there that it doesn't start feeling too old too fast. But it will. It will.
Yeah.
Which is where the expansions are going to be interesting. Now, I did have a look on Xbox, the Xbox One, and, just to have a look because they both got both of the expansions are up there to buy.
Okay.
If you don't get the what do they call it, the expansion pass?
Yeah.
Which is just basically it's a season pass, or at least it's a pass for the next two expansions because we've no idea how many are coming down the line, and if what was on the Xbox store was anything to go by, both of them are under 10 meg in size.
Mm. So it's leveraging off content you've already got.
Exactly. So with the expansion passes, unless that's just a placeholder, I'm not expecting any new areas to be available. Having said that, of course, as if SWTOR Miner has taught us anything, just because we can't see it in the game doesn't mean the data isn't already there. So that's there could be who knows how much other stuff already on our machines that we just can't access because those missions haven't been unlocked. They're not available yet. So there's not necessarily an indication of the size because let's face it, 10 meg you'd be lucky to get a podcast in that.
Well, we don't. Yeah, ours
and if 30. This one's anything to go by, there's subtle content in one of those things.
That's right. Yeah, ours come in 25 to 30 meg, depending on how long ago.
So, yeah, I just thought I'd mention that because it's interesting. Hopefully it's nothing more than a digital key and some other bits and pieces, or maybe, as I say, it's just a placeholder. But anyway, yes, I am enjoying it. I do like it. I'd like the tower to be a little bit more interesting because it does feel a bit sterile and a bit small.
So this is the tower with the big
Yes, the tower's the hub area.
Yeah, yeah.
You do most of the stuff just basically from your spaceship, looking at your spaceship.
Yeah.
And then you can access the planets and then the areas on each planet
you want to go to. Oh, so you mean the tower with the vendors and all that stuff.
The tower with the vendors.
And it's not even that well laid out, I'd argue, but anyway, yeah.
I think it's laid out to, well, if I had to make a critique of it, I would say everything's spread out as far as possible to make it feel bigger when really
you could
do pretty much the same thing by just going onto the fleet in SWTOR and
that's right.
And you could do the same sort of thing basically in the cartel market. And quite frankly, things on the fleet are pretty well spread out as well to make it look like it's more there than there actually is.
I mean, we won't talk too much about gear and stuff in Destiny, but I like the way the gear's done. It's simple. The interface is good. It's easy to upgrade. Yeah, I thought that was good. The downside, which is you can't avoid being an online, actually it's not an MMO, but you can't pause. The best you can do is find a quiet spot where there are nothing to kill you and leave, walk away. So you can do that.
Yeah.
And I'm also, again, it is very much forcing you into a funnel to some extent to get into teams of two or three. Because, I'm about to hit level six. Are you up to seven or something, Simon, by now?
I'm about nine. I'm nine, halfway to ten at the moment.
Oh, you've put in some serious hours since we danced.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
Yeah, because we're just about the same when, you were one ahead of me, when we were both playing. I have an issue with that for two reasons. One, that it's just finding the other people to play with necessarily. Like, so I'm in the mission where you've got to get the array working, and then you get the array working and you go, says, oh, here come three drop ships with shitloads of fallen in them. Did you play that one?
Yeah, I went with a friend.
Yeah, because I
you need a friend.
Yeah, I spent literally 2 hours today trying to do that solo. I think I died 12 times and then gave up, realizing that I don't think it's possible to do solo. Or you probably can if you're really well geared and probably another level or two higher. But I need to find. But what surprised me as a new PS4 user and a new Destiny user is that the only way you can get into other people's fire teams is to have the PS Plus account that you have to pay for.
Yes.
And I think that's a bit of a hidden sting that I was unaware of, but maybe I just didn't read the fine print well enough. And I mean, it's not an exorbitant amount, but...
Or the email I sent you.
Yeah, you did mention that for sure. But I'd already decided to buy the console. But
yeah.
I think, so if you're unaware, you've got to pay, what is it, $60, $70 a year, whatever it is.
Yeah, if you go to things like Green Man Gaming, I think I had a look and they were just offering a Xbox Gold subscription for $52, which was 12 months plus another month, which is considerably better value. I think it's like $79 or something if you buy it through the Xbox store. So yeah, always buy those codes through the email. And PlayStation Plus, look, as does Xbox Gold now, with the free games you get each month, or two games in some cases, it does pay for itself quite quickly.
That's true. That's a fair point. So I will. I
know what you mean, though.
Yeah, I did the 2-day free trial to be able to join you. When I came online and saw you were there, I thought, well, rather than stuff around with signing up, I'll just do the 2-day free trial.
Yeah.
So I could join you, and we had some fun. But I need to get my stuff set up for voice chat, and I assume it's that little earpiece with the microphone on it that I was supplied with my set. So I just need to connect that and get moving with that stuff.
Yes. God, we're probably boring everyone sick at this point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll talk about it after. That's fine.
But there's one little tip I will share. It doesn't work with the Xbox One, but with the PlayStation 4, the handy-dandy little earpiece microphone thingy you get, throw it out. Strangle the cat with it.
It looks rubbish.
It's better than nothing, and that's the only thing it's better than.
Yeah.
So if you've got... one of those, the in-ear things for your phone with the little microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Just plug that in instead. It's far better, and you get better sound quality.
All right, cool. So that's Destiny. So I mean, if I had to give it a score out of 10 as a first-person shooter, I'd have it a solid 8, 8.5. I've enjoyed it. I'll put a bit of time into it. I can see I will get bored as well, particularly if the level of skill required gets more and more intricate. And you need more and more people to get through it, that's just going to turn me off. But I love it otherwise.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8 with additional review as things move on, because it's a launch game. And obviously things are fairly thin on the ground unless you're Wildstar. It needs some fattening up. There's no two ways about it. But what is there for the time being is a lot of fun, and it's well worth looking at if you've got the opportunity.
Indeed. So there you go. And we kept that under about 15 minutes. So that was good. So let's leave general gaming there for now and jump into some pop culture.
I can feel your anger growing.
So firstly, I want to pay tribute to you, Simon. You mentioned last episode you recommended a new show, an HBO show called The Leftovers, which just completed its season in the US. And I binge-watched a lot of them and then caught up with the last episode that went to air sort of Monday our time, and loved it. If you haven't checked it out, definitely have a look. As Simon explained last episode, it's, you know, 2% of the world's population just disappears, and it's the impact on this particular town afterwards. And it's just really high quality drama, I'd argue.
It is, although it's fairly polarizing as well. I think it's fair to say. You either like it or you don't.
That's right.
And really, there is no middle ground.
No, if you read some of the comments on some of the, you're right. I browsed some of the web reviews and particularly after the last episode, I read some of the recaps on some of the big sites. And the comments, you're right, it's very split thoughts on it.
Yeah, don't read below the line. It's never worth it.
And I mean, I know the theory behind which people disappeared and why, that they certainly don't, and this is a spoiler alert, but I don't think it'll surprise anyone that has watched it. It's not revealed in the series that what's caused the people to disappear. You don't find that out. It's more about the impact of that. But yeah, when you get to the end of it, it seems that there was a particular reason. I think they were taken, as far as that the people left behind were thinking nasty thoughts about them just before they disappeared. That's my theory.
And I can't argue with the theory, because that, as far as I can recall, that definitely is consistent right the way through.
Yeah. But, yeah, good fun, or not fun show. It's pretty dark, but...
It is, yeah. But that's probably why the Guilty Remnant are called the Guilty Remnant. They've come to a similar conclusion to you, I would imagine.
That's right, yeah.
Which is why they do what they do.
Yeah.
And how they do it.
No, really enjoyed it. Highly recommended. And on the other end of the spectrum, I had someone recommend to me The Goldbergs. Now, have you heard of this show, Simon?
I have heard of it. Yeah. I have never watched it.
Apparently it's on, I haven't checked the guides, it's on free to air. I bought the season, but it's if you watch The Wonder Years, and I'm probably underselling The Goldbergs by comparing it to The Wonder Years, although, you know, as a 18 or 20-year-old, whatever I was, I quite enjoyed that at the time. Think of it as being The Wonder Years in the 80s. So it's totally set in the 80s, but it has much more of a comedic focus than what The Wonder Years ever did. It's a family, The Goldbergs, obviously, and it's actually based on the producer or director's own childhood. He used to run around in the 80s with this big-assed video camera recording his family, and you actually see some really funny bits at the end of the actual footage, and he's created a show out of it that's just bloody funny from what I can see.
So it is The Wonder Years. Instead of Super 8, it's a video, it's a Beta,
Betamax
camera.
Video camera. It's just, if you grew up in the 80s or lived through the 80s, it's worth watching for the attention to detail to all that stuff. There's even a little bit of gaming in it. You see an original Nintendo console in there, which I haven't Googled, but I would have thought they were pushing the continuity there. Because when did the first Nintendo console come out? Anyway.
What are you talking about? You mean the NES?
Yeah.
Oh,
because I was placing this at about 85, 86, and I would have sworn the original NES wasn't out that early. But anyway, maybe it was.
I think the original, hang on, I've got it right in front of me now. The original, like the Famicom.
Yep.
Came out in 1983
in
Japan, and it hit North America in 1985, October.
Okay. Yeah, because, well, I mean, you didn't see it up close, but it looked like the grey box that was the original NES, but I could be wrong. Maybe it was something else.
No, that probably would have been it.
Yeah.
If it was an Atari, you would have known it was an Atari.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't miss it. Yeah, absolutely. So, just if you want a good, harmless comedy that pretty much the whole family can watch, I mean, there's a little bit of – there's no real language in it. It's more – teenage themes around, you know, sexuality and stuff like that a little bit, but most of the family could watch it and get a good laugh out of it. Highly recommended.
Excellent.
So now I expect you to go and binge watch all, I think there's like 25 episodes of that. It just finished season one, and they made a huge ass bunch of them, because they're only 24 minutes. It's a half hour prime time sort of show. And season one just finished and has been recommissioned, I think, for season two, as has The Leftovers.
Yes. I don't care if I don't see season two of The Leftovers. I feel like, because I don't think they knew when they were making the last episode of the season.
That's right.
Whether it get renewed.
Exactly.
So it's the ending, although it doesn't resolve anything, does feel like an ending.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It could be an ending.
Yeah, agreed.
But still worth watching. Go watch it.
Bloody oath. So that'll do for pop culture because we talk lots of gaming. So let's warp straight into Tech Roundup.
It does have its moments. Not many, but it has them.
Mobile phone releases. Well, it's fair to say it's been a bit of a big week for that. So I love the tag you put on this one, Simon. Is that an iPhone 6 Plus in your pocket or last year's Galaxy Note? So the obvious thing is, if you're going to summarise the main reactions to the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus launch, was that it's playing catch up with Android, and it's probably right. I certainly was just left a bit, couldn't have given a crap about any of it, to be honest. I just have never seen the point of the big ones. It just doesn't suit what I use phones for. I was never going to buy a 6 Plus. I might buy a 6 when my contract's up as part of my next contract, but that'll be about it. And the watch, the Apple Watch, couldn't give a crap about. What's your take, Simon? It's big catch up.
Yeah, as far as the phones go, absolutely. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Apple don't innovate, they iterate.
Yeah.
And that's it. And usually what they're iterating to is something that other manufacturers have been doing. I mean, I don't like Samsung's design for the most part, for most of the things they do, although the latest Galaxy Note and the Edge, I think it's called, are interesting. But as a company, Samsung's batshit crazy, quite frankly. They'll get a bit of technology and they'll thought, oh, can we make a consumer product out of this? Not really, but let's just throw this out here and
see what happens.
Yeah, they don't have a wall of crazy so much. Well, if they do have a wall of crazy, it's the thing they throw things against and see what sticks.
Yeah.
Which is why they produce so many things, so many versions of
everything.
Almost exactly the same goddamn product.
Yeah.
Sometimes several times in the same year. And they've done that with their phones. It's just trying to keep up with what they release is nuts, but at least they're trying new stuff.
Mm.
Apple, it's just like it's like a baby. It's not a consumer product. It's phone Jesus.
Yeah.
Every time they do this, it's a new phone Jesus. Oh, look, it's slightly better than last year's phone Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
I mean,
oh, you're giving me too many episode titles.
I'm sick of their crap. The watch looks like it's got a couple of good ideas, but it doesn't really look that much aesthetically. It doesn't really look that much better than the Galaxy Gear. Having said that, I'm sure the UI looks good. It looks clever, and its software is not something Samsung do very well at all. They do some absolutely catastrophically stupid things, as most Android manufacturers do.
Yeah.
Let's take stock Android and let's put this glag on here and slow the machine up and make the UI clumsy and clunky and insane. Oh, and let's put a stylus in it while we're at it. So Apple do try and keep things clean.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they don't come up with any particularly good ideas anymore. As you say, it's catch-up.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, wake me up when they do something interesting.
And, I'm not convinced that the watch just won't be an absolute dog. I just don't know how many people will get that much use out of it, but we'll see.
Well,
the health tracking stuff, yes. If it can do a really good track your steps, heart rate, all that stuff relatively simply and effectively, they'll sell a million of them. But even then, the price point might be a problem.
Well, it's $349 US.
It's an expensive watch.
It's an expensive watch because, especially if you put the Australia tax on that, it's going to be probably like $500-600.
Right.
And then, of course, you've got to factor in the fact that it will only work with an iPhone.
Yeah.
So you've got to buy a 6 or a 6 Plus.
Yeah.
It will work with, I think it will work as low as a five. So a 5.5C, yeah, okay. I think, and a 5S.
Yeah.
Also, what the hell have they done with the naming convention? 6 plus.
Yeah.
What's the next one going to be? The 6 plus S? 6S plus?
Yeah, I agree. Silly.
Well, they've already screwed themselves. They've screwed the pooch on that
one. I assume
they'll
go with, 7 plus, 8 plus. That's my guess.
But they've not done that before.
The
middle one's always an S generation.
Yeah, or a G. Anyway, I've lost track.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
yeah.
Fortunately, I don't care enough to care.
But speaking of Samsung, the Note 4 now with virtual reality.
Yes. So
it works with the Oculus?
No, the Oculus actually has produced something for the Note. It's sort of like a cheap... it's still cheaper. But basically, you know how I told you before that the DK2 for the Oculus Rift actually used a Samsung screen from, I think it was a Note 3, I think was.
Yeah.
So Samsung have clearly read the same article I did and gone, oh, hey, this is something insane we haven't done yet. Let's call these people up. So maybe Oculus got a good rate on some Samsung screens, and they got into a little relationship here where basically Oculus have produced an Oculus Rift where the front comes off and you put your Note 4 in.
Oh, okay.
Pop the cover back on, and you can interact with your phone. So basically it's a sort of an Oculus, but you're not plugged – there's no cables, of course, because you're not plugged into a computer. It's all happening on the phone. So it's completely wireless. You can spin around on your chair if you want to.
Yeah, so that's
and you're
cool.
not going to end up wrapping yourself in a cable or pulling your computer off the desk.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the other problem, of course, is that it's a phone.
Yeah.
So it's not as powerful. It's still going to be relying on battery. And God only knows what's out there for it as far as games or software go. Hopefully Samsung aren't writing the games and software because, as I mentioned previously, that's not really their thing.
And even though the science is still out on radiation phones and brain tumours, I'm not sure I'd want to be wearing it strapped to essentially my forehead for hours on end.
I would just have it on Wi-Fi. You just turn the data off.
Yeah,
put it on airline mode, it'd be fine.
That's true.
It'll stop the cell phone transceiver banging away.
And also I'd need to mention, how good would Destiny be with an Oculus?
Be good. Almost as good as Star Citizen would be. Or Elite Dangerous.
Yeah, or pretty much anything, really.
Pretty much anything, yeah.
Yeah, I just wish they'd hurry up. But I understand they don't want to put out a shit product either.
Well, Star Citizen has released an update with the new hangars. So that's kind of cool.
Are we still talking Oculus here or just general?
No, we're talking about Star Citizen now.
Yes. See, I thought you were going to get through an episode without mentioning it.
Why? We mentioned it at the top of the show.
Oh, that's true. We did too. RSI. Good point.
And that was instigated by you. I did panic with the new hangar layout. I had a bit of a minor freak out because it's completely changed and I couldn't find my towel. And
you're worried about Vogons turning up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you've got to know where your towel is. But fortunately, I found it. So.
I wonder why they've never done a Hitchhiker's MMO. That could be quite bloody entertaining. Anyway.
I did play the text adventure.
Yeah, I think I might have too. God, that's going
that
back
Babel,
a long way.
That Babelfish puzzle. Oh,
God. Yeah, what was that on? Was that on the Commodore computer? Yeah, that was a long one.
I played it on my Atari 400.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I do remember that, though.
Stone Age.
Oh, yeah.
Stone Age.
I also played a text adventure called Thermonuclear War Games based on that Matthew Broderick film, loading it up on my VIC-20s cassette player.
Well, at least you know the graphics would be at least as good as what you saw in the movie. And how often can you say that these days?
That's true. Actually, that was my other vinyl purchase in recent month was the Electric Dreams soundtrack, believe it or not. I stumbled across that. I thought, how could I not buy that?
Miko and Giorgio Moroder.
Yeah, you see the link there?
Yeah, I'm getting really – I can see why you're a keyboard player now.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we might leave it there then. That's a perfectly tacky note to wrap up on, I reckon.
Yeah. Just remember to put that music on because I want everyone to appreciate just
Nico,
what you're talking about.
And look, I've got enough stuff that I can do it for about 10 episodes, but I'll just put a short snippet on tonight. So, yeah, watch for that after we do the wrap-up. I'll put it in place of the outro music. So that's it. If you'd like to offer an opinion, suggestion, or some general abuse, feel free to email us at contact@oceanicgamer.com or visit our Facebook page, The Oceanic Gamer. I didn't think to check iTunes in the last couple of days, but don't think there's any new reviews there, but we always love your reviews on iTunes, and we're also on Stitcher. You can follow us on Twitter. My handle is The Oceanic Gamer, and Simon tweets under RPGBeatsRL. And actually, both of our Twitter, we've had a lot of nice chats, particularly with our faithful regular listeners. Thinking of you, David, in particular. Oh, and I should also do a big shout out to Ben McJanet, who's been contributing to the Oceanic Gamer website on Destiny as well. So he's been full on in that. And I might try and convince Ben to jump on in an episode or two, and we'll talk a bit more Destiny once we're a bit more into it.
Yes, yes. We've had some very nice offers from some very talented people as far as being guest hosts. So sorry we haven't gotten back to you. I can only speak for myself, but not terribly organized at the moment.
That's what
sorry.
It is. Yeah, let's look behind the curtain. The reason if we haven't got back to you is not because we don't want you and we'd probably love you. It's just to be on here, it's more most times it's Sunday afternoon. I email Simon saying, hey, we're doing the podcast tonight. He goes, yep, absolutely. And then at 5 minutes before we record, we go, shit, what's the running sheet? So it doesn't lend itself well to getting on co-hosts.
No.
But also, we will.
Also, it does explain an awful lot about the show's overall quality.
It does. That's right. So we'll leave it at that. But, thank you, Simon, too, for jumping in yet again, interrupting Destiny.
No worries. This could be the only job, meaningful work I have very shortly. So got to keep that going.
Anyone got a job for Simon, drop us a line. And also, it's a good chance for your thumbs to rest during the podcast.
I have been developing red spots on them.
Oh, I've just had sore hands anyway. So, everyone, have a great week. Remember, if your pug wipes, it's probably because one of us was in it. Good night.
Good night.